over in 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter. I want to start reading with the very first verse, but I want to use verses 4 through 7, or at least use part of verse 7. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, that you may grow by it. If so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, if it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious. Now allow me to stop right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we come before thy throne of grace at this time, Lord, we come thanking you once again for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, O Lord, for this privilege that we have this morning of assembling ourselves together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being able to lift up our voices in praise unto you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we see thy darling Son as precious in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the things that you have done for us, the things that you do for us, and the things that you will do for us in the future. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us this morning. Let thy Spirit abode with us. Let us feel your presence as we look into thy word and see those things, Heavenly Father, that would be beneficial for us as thy people. But most of all, Lord, we pray that it will be done in a way that will bring honor and glory unto thy great and thy holy name. Guide us through this service, O Lord, and if there's anything that's spoken from this pulpit that's not true or of thus saith the Lord, we beg, Lord, that you would just remove it from our minds when we leave here, that we would never remember it again. And Heavenly Father, if it is of thy word, true and spiritual, we pray, Lord, that it would find a lodging place within us, that we might be able to use it in our everyday life to strengthen us and help us as we face the trials that comes our way. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins and our shortcomings, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. Is the Lord precious to us? That's a question, but I know that He is. I know that He is the most precious thing that we can have while we're here in this life. Now, there's several things that needs to be under consideration as we get into this. I have read a lot back in the Old Testament pertaining to it, and it was pertaining to the fact that He would come and He would set up His kingdom while He was here upon the earth. And that kingdom is the gospel kingdom. It is the earthly kingdom. It is referred to as Zion. And a lot of times, a lot of people refer to Zion as being heaven, but it's actually the church that the Lord set up. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it's for those that are spiritual. It is not for the natural man. And as God's people, God has prepared us for this spiritual kingdom by blessing us to have the indwelling Spirit within us as we were regenerated by His Spirit in our lives sometimes prior to the coming into the church. And that is one of the necessities that we all ought to look at. And if we can believe and if we can see that an individual that has been touched by the grace of God, then he is or she is a candidate for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times we think that they all have to have all the knowledge that we do require of them before they are able to come into the church. But that's not true, because the church is the place to where we come to the knowledge and the understanding of God and to the knowledge and understanding of the finished work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would look back at the 19th verse of this first chapter of Peter here, it's just right above or right over to the other side of where we were at. Notice what it says. It says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you." Now, he noticed that it says that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. It's precious because it was required for the redemption of God's people. It is required that He would shed His blood on Calvary's cross that He may give or secure you to immortal glory with eternal life. His purpose was to populate heaven. And His blood was precious in the sight of His Father, and it is also precious in the sight of us as His people. So, we find now that the Lord Jesus Christ is most precious to us as God's people. He is everything that we need in our life. He is the head of the church. He is the groom of the bride of the church. We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. He is everything for the church. There is no other. There is especially nothing outside in the world that one needs to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ except Jesus Christ. He is very precious. He should be very precious. He is very precious to us in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts, in our love. And not only is His blood precious because it was what was needed to save sinners like you and I, but the other thing that is precious to us is the promises. And if you'd look just a little bit further there, over, and you go over to the, I think it's 1 Peter. No, I believe it's in the 2 Peter letter. Let me turn page here and see. If I go over in the 2 Peter letter, in the first chapter, yes, verse 4, it says, "By which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The precious promises of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given Himself a ransom for you and I. I want to go back and look at a few things that in consideration of this, let me see if I can re-sum it up for you, and then we'll go back and begin to look at it. Jesus is precious because He is the foundation of the church. Jesus is precious because He is the cornerstone. Jesus is precious because His blood was the redeeming factor in our life. Jesus is precious because He has promised us that He would always be with us, never leave us nor forsake us. And again, let me insinuate to you, or let me tell you that He is precious in every way whatsoever. Now, over in the book of Matthew over here, there's a 13th chapter is the chapter with this, full of parables. And there's a couple of parables over here. Now remember that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the place where that's under consideration. And it's the place that we come together as God's people to meet with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the place that we come together for knowledge and understanding. It's the place that we come to get the strength that we need in our lives to continue to labor in this world. And it's the place that we come together to find peace. Now, if you cannot find these in the church, then there's something wrong with it. It evidently is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He is everything. He is your all in all. He is our all in all. And to the church, He is everything to the church. And we as God's people need to realize that. So I'm going to cover a couple of parables that's found over in this 13th chapter. They're very short, but I want you to pay close attention to them. And one of them is verse 44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is under consideration now. It is the spiritual kingdom where that we meet with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth for the joy of it, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Now, it simply says that the church is the place that the joy of God's people ought to be. When we come together, when we come into the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to be so precious to us, it ought to be so inviting to us, it ought to be so exciting to us that we was able to give up whatever it is that was necessary to have it in our life. To have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. That's how precious He is to you and I. And we give up everything that is out there in the world because it amounts to nothing. And hopefully we'll point that out to you a little later on. But now notice next verse, because we go to another one. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly or fine pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now I want you to notice the parable and how that the Lord is placing these before us. He's placing them before us to bring us to the understanding that there is nothing, or there should be nothing greater for the child of God, the born again, the grace believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, than the church of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be number one in our lives. We should be able to give up everything else, whatever it is, that would hinder us from being in the house of the Lord. That's how precious it is. That's how precious our Savior is. We come together this morning. You know, you may listen to an old preacher that stammers around a whole lot and not able to get all of his thoughts together and so forth. But this is a place where the Lord has promised to be with you. This is a place where the Lord is. And when you come, even if the preacher is not at his very best, then you should feel the presence of the Lord here. And it should be present. It should be precious enough to you that you would come for the very purpose of being with the Lord and Savior for a period of time and to worshiping God our Father in heaven through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to remember that this is the house of the Lord, and it should be precious in our sight. Let's go over to the Gospel according to John. And over in the 4th chapter, this is the story about the Samaritan woman. Now, you can read all of this, and you can find that she found someone that she wasn't expecting to find. And when she found this person, which was Jesus Christ, it was the best thing that she had found, because her mind was focused upon Him and He alone, because she knew what He was. She knew that He was the Messiah, the one that they were looking for. She had found the great pearl, the pearl of great price. She had found the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though that He was able to tell her all of her sins and all of her past troubles and all of her past sins in her life, she still recognized that He was the pearl of great price. Now let's read. And many of the let's drop down to 42. I covered most of that. She went and told the people that she had found the Messiah. But let's drop down to 42. And said unto the woman, well, let me just drop back up and get 39 so that we can get down to it. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman who testified, He told me all that ever I did. Now, even though that He told her of her sins, she had still realized that this was the price of great, this was the pearl of great price. So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. Now, when they came also, I want you to listen to verse 42 now. When they came also, they also recognized that this was the treasure hidden in the field, that this was the pearl of great price, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, isn't that a great statement for those individuals to make? Now, that's the statement that all of us as God's people make when we attend the services of the Lord. We have come for a purpose. We have come for fellowship. We have come for strength. We have come for knowledge. We have come for understanding. We have a lot of things given to us when we are in the presence of the Lord. Remember what the people said pertaining to the disciples? They took notice that they had been with the Lord. There was a difference in their life because of where they had been. A lot of times we read through the Bible, I think, especially in the New Testament, and we feel like that all of these things were just for those people at that time. But it's not so. They are all things that are written in God's Word are written for our learning. It is for us that we may accumulate more and more knowledge in our lives. It's a poor individual that does not have the desire to continue to learn and get knowledge as he matures or grows in this life. You know, it would be just like sitting down and say, well, this is it. I have reached the point of all knowledge, so there's nothing else for me to learn. Now, I've been at it for a long time, and I can't say that because I've been learning more than I ever learned before, because there's no exhausting of the knowledge of God, and God gives it to us if we come together and come together for the right purpose. Now, notice these individuals. It says, we have found Him now. this makes you think of somebody else. If you go back just a little bit further back over here in the Gospel of John, we find that Philip finds Nathanael. And Philip says unto Nathanael, says, "Come and see, we have found him of whom the prophets speak." And they had found the pearl of great price. They had found the treasure that was buried. They had found the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is precious. Now when we find him, he is precious to us as well. And we come to the house of the Lord to just to see how precious he is unto us. Let's go a little further over in the Gospel of John, about the 6th chapter now. Over here in the 6th chapter, it's a long chapter, so you need to get over close to the last of it. We're going down about verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, I want to stop just for a moment, and I want you to realize that you are special and that you have the promises of God. They belong to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is your gift. He is yours. He has personally saved you by his redeeming blood. Everything is yours. Everything is yours. Now, with that under consideration, we should never be like the example that is given to us in this verse that I just read. Now, here was a people that had found the treasure hidden in the field. They had found the pearl of great price. And just because they did not understand his teaching, they decided that they would not anymore follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have been given something special, little child of God. You have been given faith. And no doubt these people had faith. They were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been given faith. And with faith, you are able to believe. And that's where that it needs to be exercised especially. Let faith exercise in belief that you believe what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and therefore you can reap the benefits of the blessings that are yours as children of God. You can grow in knowledge and understanding, and you will not be offended. Remember the parable back over in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where the gospel seed, the Word of God, fell in stony places, and they sprang up. And as soon as they sprang up, the sun come up, and because they did not have much root, they were offended. They were offended. Now, that's the point that I want to put across. When the Lord Jesus Christ is precious as he should be in our sights, we should never be offended, regardless of how hard we think the doctrine is. Now, you are a fortunate people. God has blessed you that you are able to understand total depravity. You are able to understand irresistible grace. You are able to understand these things. But all people are not. And therefore, you need to realize that. And we need to work on the faith of those individuals. Teach them. Teach them to use what they have. It would be like, and this is a crude illustration, but I'm going to use it. It would be like that we needed to dig a hole out here, and we had a shovel and a pair of post hole diggers, and then we came out and took a spoon and sat there to dig the hole with. We have what we need to get the job done. You have got the faith. Every one of God's children that are born again of the Spirit of God, they have the faith. The only thing is that they do not use it in its proper manner. They do not use it as they should. We got the tools and the equipment. We are equipped with it. With our lives. Let us use it. So if something comes up that's hard for us to believe, if it offends us, then we have lost blessings in our life. Can you imagine how it would be if you turned away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and never came again? It would be, or it should be, devastating to you. How would it be if there was a famine of the Word of God, as it was sometimes in the Old Testament times, and you didn't have it or you couldn't get it? It would be awful to us, or it should be. But we as God's people, we should, as understanding that whatever it is that the Lord says, that it is true. It doesn't make any difference if he says, as he did here, that he says to these people, he says, he was talking about spiritual things. He said, my flesh is bread and my blood is drink. And you must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. We as God's people need to consume our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a spirit. He is our spiritual food that we are to eat and to consume, and it shouldn't offend us in any way whatsoever. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Now here's the difference between those that are not offended and those that are offended. Here's the difference between those that fell upon good ground and those that fell upon stony ground. The difference is the stony ground people were offended. Good ground people, they accept it as it is. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did you know that Satan would love to make you doubt that Jesus is the Son of God? That would be one of his great accomplishments in a child of God's life. We must not. Remember again over in Peter, over there where it says that those people over there was deceived to the point of they denied that the Lord's blood had redeemed them. That's awful, isn't it? He is precious to us. He should be precious to us. He should be ours regardless of what Satan or the world says about him. We should never be offended in any way whatsoever. Turn over now to the Philippian letter. I want to go to the 3rd chapter. Let's start reading with verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. There is nothing, little child of God, that is as valuable as the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. There is nothing. It doesn't make any difference if you won the lottery and got $280 something million. It doesn't make any difference if you are a king of a great nation. It doesn't make any difference if you are a president of a nation. It doesn't make any difference how great or how popular you are. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you are poor indeed. I think of the church over in the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church. You know, it was the church that was lukewarm. It was the church that said that I am rich and have need of nothing. And the Lord said that you are poor and wretched and naked. We as God's people, we as the Lord's people, nothing, I do not know how to put it across. There is nothing out there that measures up to this price, this pearl of great price. There is nothing that measures up to the treasure of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you find Him. Now, I'm talking about to saved individuals, to those that are born again of the Spirit of God. You are to find the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to be precious to you. Listen to the next verse. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. The Apostle Paul could certainly understand. He had the opportunity to be a master in Israel. He had studied at the university. He could have been another one of the great Pharisaical teachers of that time. But he found the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's turn that around. The Lord found him. Remember what he says to the church at Galatia over there about the third chapter of the book of Galatians. He says, now that you know God. And then he stopped and he changed it. And he said, no, rather that you are known of God. God is a gracious God. He spared not his only Son, but he sent him to this earth that he should shed that precious blood that you and I may have eternal life. That you and I may be able to see and to hear and to understand spiritual things. That you and I might see how precious the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that we may hold to those precious promises that are ours. Everything that he had. Now I'm going to ask the question. Would I give up everything that I have for Christ? Would I count it as nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that we will all be able to answer that. Why? Because He is precious to you. He is precious to you. This life is nothing. James says it's like a vapor. Peter says it's like grass that grows out in the field. That it's here for just a short while and then it's gone. But eternity, we have no idea how to explain it unto you. All we can comprehend is the fact that it's forever and ever. And you can put as many ever and ever as you want to, and it still goes on. It's a time when there is no time. It's a time of happiness. And what is this life but a time of toil and a lot of time of misery? We've seen loved ones that has suffered many hours and days and months and sometimes even years. But there is no suffering. No sin. There's no Satan. There's nothing to tempt you anymore. And the Lord Jesus Christ, this precious one with His precious blood, has seen that you are precious in His sight and has redeemed you and blessed you that you may have this life with Him. We count everything lost for the excellence of the knowledge of God. Use the faith that you have and believe the Word of God. Believe what He says. I've been back over in the book of Revelation, dead end around again. I love it over there. I end up just like I started. Every once in a while I get a little jewel here and there. But you know, it doesn't bother me anymore. You know, I wanted to know exactly what everything was over there was all about, but it don't bother me anymore. I know the truth of the matter. I know that this precious one came and shed His precious blood, and I know that we're victorious through Him, and I know that's what the Word of God teaches me. I understand that, Greg. Get that knowledge and let it sit firmly in your heart. Get that knowledge and let it sit firmly in your heart and know. And He found Him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And look at the first part of that next verse. It says that, and that I might know Him. I might know Him. I want you to know the precious one this morning. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see Him as clearly as these old earthly eyes can see. You know, a lot of times I think that we look through, and the Word of God says that we do, so we look through a glass darkly. Sort of like a tinted glass that you can't see. Maybe it's a dirty glass that you can't see. If you wear glasses and you know you get a lot of dirt on those, you can still see out through them, but you can't see as plain as you can clean them. But I want you as God's people. That's my desire. I want you as God's people. I want you to see and know the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And I want you to see and know Him so strongly that it doesn't make any difference what Satan and the world throws at you. It doesn't make any difference what happens in your life from one day to the next. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, His precious promises, is with you. He'll watch over you and He'll keep you. Let's go over to the First Peter letter and the first chapter, and I want to read a couple of verses in closing. This is verse 7 and verse 8. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now look what it says. That faith will be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let us realize the preciousness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us build on that preciousness in our lives. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we may learn more and more about our Savior, that we might be strong in this life.